Hello and welcome to Pueblo Star Sports. This is the inaugural episode. I'm Ben Kaysen here with my good friend Brandon Samora. Brandon, I am so excited to be here with you on this snowy Sunday in Pueblo.
I couldn't think of a better Sunday to start off on this recording, Ben. I'm so excited. So excited for the future of this podcast as well. I mean, we have a lot of fantastic things. And I think Pueblo, just the sports in this town are just so, so amazing what goes on here. And I'm just so excited to be able to shed a little light on it.
Me too. Yeah. You know, Pueblo, I think when you think of Pueblo, you think of the sports scene pretty quickly. Talk to any Puebloan, and you know, you're an old school Puebloan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Brandon, where'd you go to high school? That's the question.
It's never the college. Never the college. In Pueblo. Always the high school.
Yeah. And it's so Brandon, of course, you went to East High School. I'm from Rye, which is kind of half in Pueblo. You know, you can debate about that all day. But me and Brandon, we've both been covering Pueblo sports for a while. For me, it's been since 2017, you know, covering it for Rev 89 at the time. And then moving on at Wake Up Pueblo, we've done a podcast about that. And now I'm with the Star Journal. And Brandon, how long have you been covering Pueblo sports for?
It felt like I literally had started from the time that I stopped competing in them.
Yeah.
2019, the fall of 2019 was my first year actually covering sports as a journalist here in Pueblo.
Oh, yeah.
Started out with RPO Sports and got great experiences with them. I did a full season of high school football and then moved on to Rev 89 in 2020. And since then, that's where I've been. We've done some great basketball games last year, going all the way up to the Final Four to the Denver Coliseum with the Central Wildcats and the South Colts. What a fantastic run. That was so much fun. But sports in Pueblo, I know you feel the same way, Ben. They just get us fired up.
Oh, yeah.
They get us fired up because there's so much going on at anyone given time. It's just so much fun. And really, I think my career, I know it's the start, but I feel like I've lived it for so long.
Absolutely. And you know, I've been able to kind of watch Brandon's career a little bit. You know, I was maybe a step ahead at the beginning and being able to watch him come up and learn and get involved in it. And I am incredibly honored to be on this podcast with you, my friend.
I appreciate that.
I'm so excited you said yes.
We always talk about it, how there was this small gap between our careers where we never got to do anything together, but the influence of, you know, the conversation between us was always there, but we never got to do any live productions together. So this is that moment. And I was so ecstatic when you sent me that text about it, Ben.
Oh, that's good. I'm honored, man. Yeah. I'm excited. Before we get into some of the games, what is your favorite Pueblo sports game you've ever called?
Oh, wow. That's tough. I have one, and it's going to it's going to be a little bit of a shocker. It was not a lot of coverage at the time, but last fall, Dutch Clark, last game of the season, two falls ago, should I say now, Central and Canyon City.
Okay.
Fourth quarter's coming down to the wire. I mean, it was back and forth all game. It was a high scoring game. I believe it finished 46-39, somewhere in the range
what
of
a
that.
Game.
But
shoot.
But Central scores a touchdown about minute 30 left. We're thinking, okay, that's the game right there. Because high school, you know, these 2-minute offenses, it's not like the pros. This isn't something they work on every single day.
Oh,
so Canyon City comes out, fantastic drive. They score with about, I mean, it was in the range of 10 seconds, but I would give it 20 to 10 seconds. So Central, really, they've got the kickoff return, maybe a play if they can get it stopped short. But with 10 seconds, Caden Clay, currently junior at Central High School, great athlete. We'll get into him a little bit later, but takes the kickoff back, Iron Bowl style, Auburn against Alabama, takes it back to win the game. No time on the clock. I've never been that excited about sports in my life. It was such a picture-perfect finish. And you know, when it comes to the coverage of it, we were the only ones there. No one had stayed. That game was over. We were the only people there in the stands, other than the parents and the teams on the field. And I felt so honored to cover that game. But I mean, right now it just gets me pumped up talking about it. But yeah, that's got to be the top game, man.
That's a good one.
That's fantastic.
You're gonna hate mine as an East Eagle fan.
Oh no!
I think my favorite was the South Colts championship in 2017. I was a freshman for football. They were 4A champions in that year. So for football, we were following them the entire run. That team was loaded. Zach Cozzolino was their quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Marcel Barbie at receiver. You know, stars up and down the group. He can just go off on the guys that were there. they had gone on this run and they went up to play the at the Broncos Stadium up at Mile High. So they were playing Pine Creek, and the Eagles had this running back. His name was David Moore III, who was ridiculous, insane numbers. He ended up finishing only behind Lendale White and Christian McCaffrey in Colorado rushing yards for his career. So they were the heavy favorite, Pine Creek was. So South was playing in that game. And I remember as a freshman in college, sitting in that booth at the Broncos Stadium, just like overwhelmed how amazing everything was.
Oh yeah.
But the game itself was incredible. Now my good friend Kobe Graham, he had a huge pick in that game as the safety. Marcel Barbie had a huge touchdown mid game. The Colts ran the ball well and they ended up winning the championship. And that's one of the proudest Pueblo sports moments I've had as well.
So. And really, cause at the time I was still competing.
Yeah, you're still playing against him. Yeah. That's what I was saying.
That year, I remember playing in the Cannon game and you knew something was different about this team because we knew we had great players. I mean, obviously
y'all's team
now,
was good that year.
Now Kane Medrano, I mean, Luke Andrada, all the names that we had on that team. But, but that 2017 South team that's like a team of legend with, when you look at it now with the guys where they've gone, but really when you compete against them, you know, when those teams are, you know, off the bat, you know, off the first play, you know, if they're the real deal or not. And we knew they were the real deal. I also remember that game that year that they had against Pueblo West that came down to the wire.
56-55 in OT, or at least, or double OT.
So crazy.
We were calling the Bell game that night. And so we were getting score updates. And the Bell game's a lot of fun. And that was a classic Bell game, too. That was the one in overtime that Centennial pulled out with the Ray Robinson touchdown at the last second. But, man, I mean, like, I was seeing the updates from the West game, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I wish I was there. Sorry, Bell game fans. Bell game was great. No question about it. One of the best Bell games I called. But that Southwest game was special, too.
That short period of time where we had three Eagle championships, we had the fourth appearance in 2018, and then the championship from South in 2017, and then South immediately after, you know, going to the championship in 19. That era of football is something that might, you know, it's one in a million with the amount of, you know, just the amount of players and great games that occurred. It was just something special, and I'm so glad that from both sides of it, we were a part of it.
So I think I know your answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. If the 17 South team plays the 16 Eagle team with Tellez and Torres and all those guys, who wins that game?
I think if it's... Oh, that's so tough. I think 16 Eagles lose that game. I think truly out of the 3 years, the 15 Eagles, they were the best. Okay. I mean, they had a state championship heavyweight wrestler in Bubba Robles on the line. They have Lalo Diaz, who came up here to play at CSU Pueblo for 4 years. I mean, Danny Martin, arguably the greatest quarterback in East Eagle history, if you're throwing it up there with Luke Andrada, but just the Bruno DeRose on that team. I mean, there were so many, and that year I was only a freshman. So my memories from that year only consist of celebrating on the sideline after the varsity had won everything. I mean, being a part of that was so special, but you know, I just remember the punishment I got at practice, being on the practice
having to play against those guys,
but also having those guys that in 2016 and then in 2019, when we played, that we were all on the practice squad. I mean, it was so much fun. And we were all one big family, but I think 15 takes down the 17 South Colt team, but I think 17 beats the 16 Eagles.
Okay, man, that's cool. You know, I love that for Pueblo sports. It's just like the banter between these teams, between the schools, between everything makes it so special. But for us here at the new podcast, the plan is we're going to be doing weekly, and we're going to be breaking down high school sports, college sports, as well as most everything else going on in Pueblo. So trying to give a little bit better overall coverage. So we'll definitely be focusing on high school, but we're going to be jumping all over the place, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely going to get really interesting for the listeners because we're going to have so many different, you know, interviews that tie into this podcast. Yeah. And really, I mean, the possibilities are endless here in Pueblo with the amount of historical figures we have. I mean, the amount of coaches that have been here, the players now and then, it's just so deep and diverse with the sports culture here.
And sports, I really think, is the lifeblood of this city. It's a huge part of what we do. So I'm honored to be a part of this podcast. And so we're going to kind of jump right in with you know, our interview today is about Coach John Wriston. So CSU Pueblo is a longtime head coach, 15 seasons with the club. He was kind of the coach that started it, which is amazing. He came on our other podcast, The Voices of Pueblo. Shameless plug, go listen to that podcast after you're done with ours to hear the full of that John Wriston interview. We took a few minutes of that interview here at the end of this podcast. But Brandon, before we get to Coach Wriston talking about what happened with him and his retirement and that great teams that he had at CSU Pueblo, what do you think he meant to the Thunderwolves organization?
You know, John Wriston, I think he means a lot of things to this organization, but to CSU Pueblo as a whole, I mean, he was just that guy. I mean, it was always, you know, anything would change, you know, especially with college sports too. I mean, the rotation of players comes in and out. I mean, you get a transfer guy for 2 years, you may get a freshman or two for 4 years, but John was always, you know, that center point. And, you know, as many times as a staff can change or as many times as you can bring in, you know, anyone around him. I mean, new presidents here at the university, he went through, I mean, gosh, he went through about three or four of them.
Yeah, keep going.
Just so impactful is what John Wriston was. And, you know, all good things must come to an end, obviously. But yeah. Coach Wriston was, he was the lifeblood of the Thunderwolves. I mean, when you talk to him and, you know, you can say that, you know, maybe football got a little more of the shine than some other sports in that time. But Coach Wriston was the person at the forefront for not just football, the university. I mean, he was there. He was the one on the news. He was the one always talking and always, you know, pumping up CSU Pueblo. So it wasn't, I think his legacy goes beyond football. I think it's definitely a CSU Pueblo legacy that he'll always have, because with football coming back, what he did, there'll never be anything like that here at the university in terms of the impact of them practicing at Dutch Clark, you know, and waiting for the Thunderbolt to be built. It's so insane to think back on I'm just happy that, you know, being a part of that in history, it's just so amazing to see. And I think he definitely had, you know, immaculate career here at the university.
I agree. And, you know, he's one of those guys that, he bleeds this university. He talks about it all the time. He was a graduate of USC, which is now CSU Pueblo. So he's from here originally. And we kind of talked through his entire story whenever we did our podcast with him. But the part that stood out to me the most, I think, was that, you know, outside of all of the incredible stats, the incredible wins, all of the great achievements, and we talked about that, the thing that stood out to him the most was the way that his players responded to him retiring. Like, he was saying how many texts and calls that he got from players, and that was what stirred the soul. That was his quote. He said that stirs the soul. And so for Coach Wriston, you know, he's had a career not only of winning a lot of football games, which, by the way, he's won a lot of football games, he also impacted a lot of kids and a lot of men here in Pueblo, you know, came here or from here, or, you know, maybe from wherever else in the country, came down here to play pack football and got a chance to see this community and grow as men under Coach Wriston. So yeah, and I think CSU Pueblo is going to miss him a good bit.
Yeah.
And he's thankfully staying around in his new role, but yeah, it's going to be an interesting transition.
Yeah. You don't think of college athletics like that until, you know, whether you're a player leaving it or, you know, someone from the outside, that these players come in when they're 18, 19, and you're going to leave when you're, you know, 21, 22, 23, in that range.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you develop as into an adult there. And when you're especially a recruit coming from a different part of the state, a different part of the country, no one's there for you every single day. Obviously, you can always, you know, give a call to anyone back home, but one is there with you in the trenches, in the work, other than John Wriston. I mean, especially if you're a Pac football player, he was your guy for however long you were be here. If you were here for a year, if you were here for 6 years, I mean, he was that guy for you. So I can't even begin to imagine what his phone would have looked like after that announcement. But I know off the top of my head, just a few guys that, you know, the utmost respect for Coach Wriston.
Absolutely. Yeah. Same here. And, you know, on the winning football game side, Pueblo, Pueblo's in the RMAC, which has teams from all over Colorado in it. You know, you have Western, you've got Denver, you've got Mines, you've got all of these schools, Adams State down south, as well as up and down the west here in the mountains. Whenever CSU Pueblo came in, I imagine, because I've seen how people respond to Pueblo outside of Pueblo, not a lot of people respect Pueblo until they get on the court with them, or get on the field with them, and then it's a battle, right? The Thunderwolves, as a club, I mean, they came up, and very quickly, within the first 2 years, became an RMAC really important team. That second year, they beat Chadron State when they had that massive win streak going. And then I think by the fourth year, they were undefeated in the regular season and won the RMAC. It did not take Coach Riston long to not only build the program up, but build the rest of the RMAC's fear of this program in this the state, right? I mean, in the time that I covered him from, you know, 2017 on, the Thunderwolves are kind of a team that other teams would circle on their schedule. So Coach Riston's a big part of that. And I'm excited for Coach Vigil, who's now the new head coach for CSUP, Philip Vigil, to take that mantle and keep moving on with that, maybe take it in new directions. But
yeah, and it's not, you know, and it's not anything, you know, Coach Vigil's not going to be the new John Riston. Like, they don't have to reinvent. Yeah, they don't have to reinvent that wheel of, you know, establishing the program and doing that. No, this is about building on what Coach Riston has already accomplished in all the RMAC titles. I mean, the national championship, you can go on and on about that. But you always have to embrace that change. And I think from what it sounds like, and obviously we'll see next fall, but I think that change is going to be embraced quite well here. And I think that, you know, change of culture, especially before it gets bad, is always the perfect thing. You know, you never want to wait until, don't wait until too late. And I think Coach Riston and Coach Vigil, I think this might've been, you know, one of the best times for them to have this crossroads in both of their careers. And I'm really excited about what the 2023 season is going to bring us.
Same here. Yeah. So let me ask you this, Brandon. The RMAC has a new Titan in it. Colorado Mines won the championship this year. The entire thing made a deep run. John Matuka, he's thankfully graduating for us Thunderwolf fans. Yeah. Guy's a beast. But Colorado Mines is kind of the favorite. CSU Pueblo, I think, has slipped back to where they're the second or third best program in the RMAC for today. What does Coach Vigil have to do to get the pack back on top of the RMAC?
I think he's got to pull out a big win. Mm. And I think starting out Midwestern State, that's going to be a good one at home.
Oh, yeah,
but
that's
a win. I mean, if we're talking big here for season one, I think a win at Grand Valley to start your season on the road. I mean, second game of the year at Grand Valley. And we saw what Grand Valley did this year. Obviously they're one of the top teams in Division II as well. And they have a fantastic home atmosphere. I love that. It feels like back in 2014, when we had that national championship here, it feels like that. And I think a win at Grand Valley, that sends a message even before they play Mines, because they have that same little gauntlet that they had last year, because they had Grand Valley, then Mines, then Western. And that was sort of like the undoing of the start of this season. I think that could just be the adrenaline shot that they need to start next year with that three game stretch. If they go win at Grand Valley, win at Western, and then at home against Mines, they're going to have everyone behind them in that game against Mines. And I think CSU Pueblo against Mines at home is always, it's always a different animal, because on the road, it's like, okay, we're putting all the faith in the voice of the Thunderwolves, Jim Brooks. We're putting all of it. And we're going to be sitting right by the radio, but at home, it's just a different animal. I mean, the students are out, everyone's out. And that could be that one big rally point that Coach Vigil needs to get everyone's attention to say, no, CSU Pueblo football is not going anywhere.
Good stuff. And I agree with all that. So we've got more coverage of the Thunderwolves football program over this upcoming year. We're going to be covering them a lot, I'm guessing, on this podcast. Coach Vigil hopefully is going to be coming on it soon. But you can listen to our podcast with Coach Riston, the entire full version, on the Voices of Pueblo podcast, brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. Search Voices of Pueblo in your podcast platform to find that. But don't listen to that until you're done with our podcast, because we're not done yet. We've got a lot of big things to talk about. Specifically, maybe the biggest basketball game of the year for high school going on Tuesday. This podcast comes out on Monday. So tomorrow we've got Central and South, two clubs that went all the way to the Final Four last year, like Brandon mentioned, and both teams are playing pretty well right now. What are some of the keys to that game for you?
First off, I'm just so excited for this game. Oh,
yeah. You get to call it, right?
Yeah, I'll be there. Be on the mic Tuesday night. So it'll be.
Where can we listen if we're trying to listen to you call the game?
We'll listen on Rev 89 KTSC Pueblo. You can listen live on 89.5 or search Rev 89 wherever you listen to podcasts. You'll be able to pull up that stream link. So
great.
That's gonna be exciting. This game last year, we got it as the pinnacle of basketball last year, and it's gonna be nothing short of that this year. These two teams right now, they're gonna be at the top of the South Central League when it's all said and done. There's a few teams that have pushed them close in some really close games the last few weeks, but these are the teams. They've been there to the to the final dance. You know, they've been to the Final Four last year, like you said, and these two teams really, and you can focus it down for the South Colts all on Maurice Austin.
Absolutely.
Maurice Austin has been that guy for the last few years. Now his brother Terrence has graduated, now playing at Murray State. Maurice Austin is the guy at South. I mean, nearly 28 points a game he's averaging. I believe it's up to 20. It was started at about 27.2. It's now up to 27.5. But I mean, last week he had 45 against the Centennial Bulldogs, 35 last week against Pueblo West. He is going to be the focal point of everyone for the Wildcats to stop there on Tuesday night. If the Wildcats can somehow put a halt to Mo,
how do we do it? What are your thoughts? Because obviously, you know, no one's done a great job of figuring it out yet, but if I'm Central, what's my game plan? How do I deal with him?
Oh, it's so hard, because even last year in the championship game, I mean, so many great players, and Lewis Palmer, I mean, graduated some fantastic ball players. I mean, Brady Jones is now at Black Hill State, and you know, he was, you know, a 6'8" guy, and Maurice Austin at his 5'8" stature on a good day, just out rebounding him. You've got to match the toughness of Maurice Austin, and now, might I add, that's a mighty tall task, but if anyone can do it, I think it's got to be the two brothers at Central, Xavier and LaDamian Davis. I mean, the junior Xavier, the freshman LaDamian, they are just a fantastic duo. And really, last year we were talking about Xavier, and he was sort of the sixth man on that Central team. And now he's the guy. I mean, he's averaging 15 a game. He's been playing great basketball. And then LaDamian, as a freshman, we had that duo with South last year with Terrence and Maurice. Now we get it with Xavier and LaDamian. So I think if those two defensively can shut down Mo, that's going to be where the Central Wildcats can sort of, you know, take advantage in that game. But they've got to find a way to stop Mo, because if they can stop Mo, I think they'll be able to stop the South Colts.
I agree with that. I think my big key, and you mentioned it, we were talking a little bit pregame, is depth. And Central is a team with a lot of depth. They're built with, you know, 8-9 deep, sometimes 10-11 deep of quality basketball players who can really contribute, not only scoring the ball, but away from the ball, rebounding, assisting, and everything that comes with that. For South, that's actually been a struggle to this point. They've really got three guys. One of them is really the guy, like you mentioned, Maurice Austin. He's the star. He's got the name. He's the guy you got to stop. But Esquivel and Aragon have been really good for them too. Ray Aragon, great shooter. Esquivel, big man inside. They've been kind of the other parts of their big three. Outside of them, no one on the team averages more than 5 points a game. So if you're the Central Wildcats, you've got a depth advantage. So whenever those guys are on the bench, you've got to take advantage. And additionally, you know, if you're South, I'd love to see a Floyd or Jones or Baca give me a 10 points in this game, 15 points in this game. That could be huge for turning this game their way. South's an interesting team because they've been playing really well, but they've lost a lot of really close games to this point. They're 10-6. Central, on the other hand, has won their close games. And so that either, you know, is a trend, one, that could flip here, or two, we look at it and say Central can handle themselves in these real tight ball games. They've been there. South hasn't learned how to win that yet. So this is a huge game this week coming up.
Yeah, and we'll get it again in a few weeks. And
yep.
Thankful we get it again, because it's just fantastic nice basketball. But yeah, that's going to be the key for South. I mean, that was the struggle last year, even having Terrence and Jace Bella on that starting five. But that depth, you know, who's it going to be? Sometimes, you know, for the Colts, it's Marcus Moreira. I mean, sometimes he gets some great minutes inside, and then, you know, sometimes it's got to be someone else. Sometimes, like you mentioned, is it going to be Des Floyd? Is it going to be Baca? You know, who's it going to be? I think also a dark horse too, Jeremy Duran, a senior who really hasn't played basketball with South, you know, and I've talked to him a few times after games, a fantastic young man, a great athlete, but he could be a difference maker for South this season because he offers a little more size. He's a little more versatile. He stands about 6'1", 6'2", and he's got a little more size. And that's part of the other thing with the depth that South struggled with last year. I mean, they had no one to match up with in the playoffs, and somehow they were still winning all these games by the graces of of Mo and Terrence Austin. But Jeremy Duran could be, you know, the dark horse here for South to really separate with some size and also some much needed minutes off the bench, because with that depth, South just, you know, when Maurice got into foul trouble, when Terrence got into foul trouble last year, there's no one there to pick up the slack. Sometimes Ray can go absolutely ballistic and go for 20 in a game. But Ray, if he's not shooting from the outside, sometimes, you know, they've got to find those other guys. Definitely. So I think Duran could definitely be that guy for them in this matchup on Tuesday.
That's good stuff. And I'll also just throw in that when you talk about size, Central has got a lot of size as a team.
So much
up and down.
Size.
It's a big part of what they do, right? And they have been out rebounding teams all year. And so when you play this game, if you're South, be careful. If you're struggling with your shooting and the rebounding starts to go the other way, that's how a game gets out of hand quick. But it's worth saying as well, last year, Central lost both games to South. South beat them both times. And I've got some guys who go to my church that are on this Central team. They've been talking about South since then. This is the game that they've circled. So Central's going to be fired up for this game. South's going to be fired up to try and hold on to that kind of crown in the SCL. So I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm glad you get to be on the call.
Oh, I'm so excited, Ben. This is, speaking of also the Central boys, this is the one that I circle on my calendar too, because we know we're going to get a great crowd at the event center. I mean, last year, both games, I mean, it felt like a true college atmosphere. I mean, there were so many people packed into the event center, and I don't think I've ever seen it that full for a basketball game, other than maybe when we had our state finals here. It was just so good. The energy, everything, and pregame, all that energy, you feel it. I mean, us as the broadcasters, we felt it last year, and I think it's going to be nothing short of that this year. We've got two great teams. It's going to be two great games, and we're going to start it off on Tuesday.
I hate to be that guy, but what's the score prediction, Brandon? Where is your head at right now?
Both games last year, I went Central. Okay. I'm not going against the Colts this year. Coach Lane, everything that the Colts have done, I'm going South in this one. I think we're going to see it high scoring here for both these teams. I think we're looking at maybe like a 68-71 type finish. I think it's going to be close, and I think we're going to get a lot of points because we know how good the caliber of players are on both sides of the line here. But I'm going South here. I went Central both times last year. I said South couldn't match up the size, and what did
they
I do? I get
win.
Handed two huge losses. So I've got to stick with the guns here. I got to go South in this one.
Well, I'm going to make the mistake you made last year. Maybe let's find out. I think I like Central in this matchup. I think depth is huge. Maurice Austin, obviously incredible player. That team's got some really good scorers for South. I love South's coaching, but I think Central's got the depth and the size to make this a defensive slog kind of game. I'm going to go Central 63-57.
Oh, I like that. I like that score there. I like that. It's crazy to think that this Central team and the players they lost last year.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Bigley, Caden Betts, you lose those guys and you say, well, this team here in 23, it may not have the same caliber of starters, but they might be more deep than that team last year. And I think that could be the difference maker, because not a lot of teams, I mean, teams in the NBA can't go 10, you know, 11 deep. And I feel that, you know, the Wildcats, they've got that, whether it's anyone coming off the bench in that full substitutional rotation that Coach Tyler does so well.
Oh yeah.
I think really they're just so deep. It's going to be incredibly hard to stop them. But if there's one person I think who could put a game plan together to stop these Wildcats, it's Coach Lane itself.
And she just won a Coach of the Year award this week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Historic award for her. I mean,
she's incredible.
She's done so many things here in Pueblo in just the last decade for basketball. Her impact is so amazing.
Yep. She's incredible. Sorry, Shannon. I'll take Central in this game, but it'll be fun. Oh man. So now we want to do our bit. It's called Samora's Star of the Week. Brandon Samora, my friend, give me your star of the week. Who we want to highlight this week?
Well, let me tell you, we had a fantastic ball game last week between the Centennial Bulldogs and the Central Wildcats. It's always fun when we get, you know, those bell game matchups, you know, in basketball and baseball. It always brings in some good fun. And obviously, I think, you know, at any high school sport here, all the kids know each other. I mean, they're all cordial.
Oh, yeah. They've been playing for a long time.
Yeah, yep. They've been playing against each other since they were, you know, 5 and 6. So these matchups matchups. They're always good. And our girls' games are always close. We always get some good finishes. And, you know, no matter what, it always seems to come down to the wire. But my star of the week here for our inaugural episode is going to be Nayeli Longoria. She has been the player this year for the Centennial girls, and rightfully so. She's been averaging close to 13 points a game this season, but really last week, a standout performance for her, 21 points in their win, really coming down to it. In the fourth quarter, we had so many lead changes going back and forth in the second half, and it came down to a few. Central got down about six at one point. They were down six, and they just kept fouling Longoria. They just kept fouling her, and I was like, why are you fouling the best player on the team? And just so fantastic, her finish. She was clutch at the line. There were a few free throws she missed, two on some one-and-ones, where three times in a row she had a one-and-one, and she got her own rebound off the missed free throw and extended the possession for Centennial. And when I talked about it on the broadcast, I'll talk about it here, because she single-handedly, I mean, just wrapped that game up with a big red Centennial bow on top, because it was just so fantastic. We talked to her after the game, and she was so ecstatic after the fact. But yeah, that's the star of the week, Nayeli Longoria. Just absolutely fantastic ball player here in Pueblo.
Sweet. Congratulations and well earned. That's amazing. That's cool. Well, let's jump over to the Star Sports Slate. I'm going to prep three big games or events in Pueblo upcoming. And so I want to start off with the one we just talked about. Central South Boys Basketball, 8 o'clock at the Event Center. That's over by the State Fair. You want to check that out. South is 11-6, Central 13-4. Like I mentioned, South cruised past Central twice last year, but both teams went to the Final Four. Central's got a chip on their shoulder. This is going to be an incredible game. You want to catch that. And like Brandon said, it's going to be a packed house. It's going to be an incredible game. If you can't make it there in person, though, like you were saying, check out Rev 89 Stream if you want to hear Brandon on the call, and you can check out that incredible basketball game. Also want to give a highlight and a shout out to CSU Pueblo softball. Their opening weekend's coming up this weekend. That'll be in New Mexico. Four games. And so, you know, it's going to be a bit of a, I'm guessing, some cold softball games, but I'm excited for this season. It's the third year under their new head coach. Four games. They start off against Western New Mexico. Then they'll play Texas Permian Basin, then Simon Fraser, and then West Texas. The first game's at 10 o'clock on Saturday. And then they have another one at noon. And then on Sunday, they have a game at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock in the morning. They're going to be fun games. So if you want to watch those games, go check out GoThunderwolves.com to check out their stream. Follow the softball team. We'll be doing more coverage on them as the year goes on as well. And then our third thing, which is really exciting, is the 27th annual CSU Pueblo Classic. It's a big indoor soccer tournament. It'll be set February 3rd through 5th. So that's coming up this weekend. And man, it's going to be intense. Games are going to be being played all over the campus. Massari Arena, that's the basketball courts, as well as the Art and Lorraine Gonzalez Stadium, that's the soccer field, lacrosse field, and the new indoor stadium, the ART, that's the new big building over by the Thunder Bowl. Going to be some incredible games, and you've got amateurs playing, you've got adults playing, you've got an under 8 division, a 10 division, a 12 division, a 14 division, two high school divisions, a co-ed division, and adult competitive 35 and over. So it is going to be intense. A ton of fun rules, 25-minute games, and those games will be happening all day. We'll be doing more coverage on that next week, probably. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you want to go watch some soccer, go check that out.
Yeah, and really, this is always something that I think slides under the radar of everyone here in town, but it's so crazy to see the turnout for this, because it's arguably one of the biggest things that happens here on campus on a yearly basis. And, you know, when you look at that too, 27th annual, I mean, there's a lot of tradition there. And I think if you talk with anyone who's been a part of soccer, I think, you know, there's a lot of soccer players both here at the university, but there's a lot of guys that, you know, just play in high school, and then, you know, you just catch them here at the university, but they talk so passionately, because everyone that doesn't play, obviously, on the collegiate team here for the Thunderwolves, everyone's got this date circled, because this is such a big deal to the soccer community here in Pueblo. And I'm just glad we get to talk about it a little bit here, because it is a great occurrence of sport here in town.
It's going to be fun. And we also hopefully are going to get some of the people that are organizing it on the podcast next week for our interview. So keep an ear out for that as we're coming with it. I think that's most of the events coming up this week. So once again, that is our Star Sports Slate. Keep an eye out for those. And let's just take a few minutes now. We're going to jump into our interview with Coach Riston, and we'll jump in over there. Yeah, you guys, you get that win. Now you get into 2012. You guys are starting to win now. You know, the program's getting a lot of respect, ranked number one at some points during that. Tell me the story of the 2014 team. How did we get from that to where you guys ended up in 2014?
Well, I think the way in 2014, really had to have a lot of things happen to you. And when you win a national championship, you got to have a lot of luck. And you got to have a lot of luck go your way. And one of those things that I think happened on our 14 team is our schedule was right. And our playoff matchups were right for us. And so it's not so much about getting in the playoffs and advancing. It's about who you play in the playoffs and the matchups. And our matchups were right. We're going to play at Angelo State. And we had played them a year before and kind of whipped up on them in Texas.
Yeah.
In Jerry's World there. And so I knew our kids would be fired up to play them at our place. And we ended up beating them pretty good. I believe 50-0 or something of that sort. And then we played Ohio Dominican the next game and jumped out to early lead and kind of held on. And I remember Daniel Weiss returning a punt, 80 yards or whatever to seal the win. And so that was, we could play with those teams and we not be a physical matchup like some teams might be. So then we played West Georgia in the semifinal game, which was a special game here in Pueblo, Colorado. And that was a bunch of Southeast Conference transfers. And that was a flat out war with kids just landing on the line and going to work. And it was fun to see. And we found a way to score one more point, found a way to get it to 10-7 on a trick play to Zach Boyd. And that put us in the national championship. I knew if we won our semifinal game, we would win the national championship. I just had, because I had played that scenario in my mind 10,000 times. And I just, in my mind, I knew we were going to go win that national championship game no matter who we played. I knew we needed to get there. That was the key. And so we got there. And it was because of the matchup. And then 14, we lost to Fort Lewis, I think, middle of the season. And that kind of refocused it. We also beat a really good Sam Houston team down in Texas at their place. They were ranked number one or number two in the FCS football championship series. And so we had a damn good team. We had damn good coaches that put them in a great position. But there were some ebbs and flows of that. But really the bottom line is I think the 14 team, we got lucky. And it's okay to say that. I think it's okay to manage that. We took advantage of that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the key to anything in life is, did you take advantage of that opportunity? And we did.
That's amazing. Yeah. So y'all get to the national championship game. What's going through your mind before you step out on the field against Minnesota State Mankato?
Oh, I just didn't want to trip. I didn't want to trip coming out, leading the team out and trying to do that. I thought we... I didn't want to screw that game up for our kids. And I felt like no matter who we're going to play, we're going to beat them. And I just think I was just so confident because I played that game 10,000 times in my head and we won it every time. And I think our kids had thought that way. I think that our kids took advantage of everything they could do and I wanted them to enjoy it. And so I think the last part that I wanted to enjoy it. I really wanted the kids to enjoy it. And so I try to stress all week, take a moment to enjoy it. And because this will go down to being a special moment for all of us.
Wow. And so in that game, do you remember the moment where it sealed in, we're going to win this game?
Well, I think that the way our defense was playing and playing fast. And Chris Bonner threw a ball down to Paul Browning that made a heck of a play. And it was nice to have him healthy. I remember our offensive line was a little bit inexperienced, but they came to play and we're knocking them off. I remember Troy Thompson from Pueblo Central that made a heck of a catch. But I remember Cameron McDonald just kind of, I'm going to make sure I get a 33, a 34. And we weren't going to have a lot of big yards, but he's going to find a way to get it done. And we controlled the ball game that way. And Gerard Lacey and Steph Dickens, Josh Bridle blocked a field goal and Steph Dickens picked it up and advanced it. And so there was a lot of great moments. So I think at the opening kickoff, I was so confident we were going to win the ball game.
Wow.
How about that?
That's amazing.
I don't remember one special moment that we got this.
Yeah.
I just felt like we got it from the whole game.
Wow. So you guys win that championship. You know, you're celebrating the championship with the guys at the end of the game. Everyone's running around. It's madhouse. What do you remember about being in that locker room after the game?
Well, it was funny. They had us in two different locker rooms, so it was hard to get everybody together. But I just remember afterwards, you know, they present the trophy. They got a stage they bring out and then confetti's all doing it. But I remember our guys doing snow angels in the confetti and doing that. But I just remember for myself, I was just going to stand back and watch them and enjoy it and have them take it all in. And just the smile on those kids' faces was special.
Wow. That's so cool. Yeah, like when we talk about that team as well, like what was it like to be with those assistant coaches and the guys that you'd been around and celebrate that championship coach to coach?
Well, you know, we all have goals. We all have aspirations, but we were able to take it from zero to 100. And there's not a lot of times in your lifetime that you ever get to do that. And I think that was very, very fulfilling. It was very humbling. It was very, it was just humiliating in the sense that we did it. And the value of developing the human spirit, getting them all on the same page with your coaches and everything. And there's, you just can't replace that.
Amen. That's so cool.
It is.
So I'm going to give you a chance. I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but who are some of the players from those 2010s teams, or maybe just all the way through your run, that stand out to you as incredibly important to the Thunderwolves and the brand that's come up out of that?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here with a lot. I think all those kids that that stayed that first year to graduation, you know, the Kobe Whittocks of the world, the JT Haddams of the world, the Aaron Hernandez of the world, Lee Meisner, I think I've said that, but all those guys that stayed with us from day one all the way through, and I think that those guys really helped. The Kobe Whittocks, the John Baileys of the world that helped establish to bring in the Gerard Lacy's, the C.J. Roberts, the Steph Dickens, the McDonald brothers, the Chris Bonner, the Kevin Cuffs, the Kieran Duncan's, Jared Radenbaugh's, the Tony Camptons of the world. There's so many that I'm not doing it justice because I'm a Linux, but just everybody all together that wanted to be a part of it. And I thank them for letting me be a part of their life and let me coach them.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that side of it. Like, you've gotten a chance to be really close with a lot of guys over these years and be able to have a really good influence on them. What's it been like to be in that position in these young men's lives?
Well, that's what I do. Why I do what I do. And it was funny when the official announcement of my retirement coaching. I think I had 245 texts.
Wow.
And I had over 20 phone calls from majority players, former players, and so That was great. Hmm. It was really cool. It was really humbling, and all of it was thank you. Hmm. And so I get emotional on that because I guess that's what stirs the soul.
Yeah.
And they felt enough to validate and say thank you. So that meant a lot.
All right. Thank you, Coach Riston, once again for being on this podcast. You can check out the full-length interview on the Voices of Pueblo podcast. You can find that by searching Voices of Pueblo in your podcast platform. For Ben Kaysen and Brandon Samora, thank you so much for joining us for this podcast. Brandon, I had a lot of fun today.
Ben, we're just going to keep talking about it every episode, I feel like. But the opportunity to do a project like this, not only with you, but about Pueblo, is just, it's so exciting. And I love it so much. And I think it's from here on out, it's going to be so, so fantastic. The voices we get on, the personalities, everything, it's just going to be so much fun. And I had a great time today. I'm going to have a great time next week. It's going to be awesome.
Same here, man. Keep an eye out. We'll be coming out every week, every Monday. Build that into your routine. If you like this podcast, send it to your brother, your sister, your aunts, your uncles, your grandpa, your grandma, your kids. Send it to whoever you want to send it to. We would really appreciate that, as well as give us a rating in your podcast platform. All that would mean a lot to us. We're just trying to shed a little more light on the Pueblo sports situation. And of course, keep an eye out for our new podcast coming out every week. And also keep an eye out for the Pueblo Star Journal. We're a monthly newspaper at the moment, and maybe moving towards not monthly at some point. But for now, we're a monthly paper. We are covering sports as well as the arts and the news happening here in Pueblo. You can check out PuebloStarJournal.org if you want to check out where you can get the paper. We would really appreciate that kind of support as well. Thank you so much for listening. For Ben Kaysen and Brandon Samora, have a great rest of your day.